The Breakfast Huddle replay from Money FM 89.3.
Good morning, I'm Elliot Danker. We turn our attention to blockchain technology, a word that's been used so much recently, but even till today, blockchain technology and how you can use it can still be quite confusing to some. We've heard so much about what it can do. Not only can it store data on monetary transactions, it can also store data about, say, property exchanges, stops in a supply chain, and even votes for a candidate. Interestingly, Zcoin's blockchain technology has helped the Thai Democratic Party to carry out their primary elections late last year. This is the first major political party in the world to use blockchain technology in politics. And some states in the US, Switzerland, and Japan are considering the idea. So we want to try and find out more about how e-voting works with our expert this morning, Ruben Yap, Chief Operating Officer of Zcoin. Ruben, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Nice to meet you, Elliot.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with me this morning. I understand you used to be a corporate lawyer for a decade. You were specializing in institutional frameworks, and now you're in tech. Why the big change?
Well, I think tech has always been my calling.
Yeah.
I mean, when I did law, it was like what my parents wanted. And I think after 10 years, I decided to break it off on something that's like truly my passion.
Well, you've given to the industry. 10 years later, it's time to pursue your passion. Okay, before we talk about blockchain in tech, in politics, right? A lot of people tend to get confused, or they don't quite have a full understanding of how blockchain technology works. Any chance you could break it down and give us a simple explanation?
Sure. I mean, you know, blockchain technology is kind of a fancy way of saying it's decentralized distributed database. So, I mean, like, you know, everyone understands what a database is, usually controlled, you know, by one party. So, like, for example, Starbucks, if it, you know, has some sort of loyalty point system, it's on a centralized database, meaning they have the entire power to, you know, add or remove records. But the idea of blockchain technology is, first of all, it's decentralized. So that means there's no single point of entry or failure. It's distributed in a sense it's not just one place. And it's a database where you can only add data to it. That means once I put data onto it, it's very difficult to remove or amend it. And how that works is that the data are grouped into blocks of, you know, that's where it gets the name blocks. And they are then mathematically linked to each other so that you cannot alter an older block without invalidating future blocks. And that's how the data can't be changed easily. So I guess that's it in a nutshell. And, you know, I guess the most famous example of a blockchain is Bitcoin.
Yeah.
For the moment.
Yeah, still around. Bitcoin still around. But you mentioned that with regard to the data, the decentralized data where blockchain is concerned, how you can only add data, you can't remove it, it's difficult to manipulate data. Is this there as a bit of a security, how you say, to prevent security breaches and whatnot? How does Zcoin use blockchain technology and protect the data?
We're not going into too technical details, but of course the design of the system, because in a distributed database, you want to make sure there's no single authoritative point where you can say this is the correct version, right? So you need to be able to independently verify that those transactions check out, it makes sense, there's been no amendments to the past. That's how blockchain works. And Zcoin's technology, of course, at its very core, we use Bitcoin's core infrastructure, but then we build layers on top of it. We are our own independent blockchain, but we are adding additional functionality to Bitcoin's code base. So like privacy is the main aspect that we are focusing on.
We're talking about blockchain technology in a live e-voting system. Ruben Yap, COO of Zcoin, on the line with me. So we talked about how Zcoin's blockchain has helped the Thai Democratic Party to facilitate the primary election voting systems last year. How does e-voting work? From my perspective, it's just simply clicking online, but then there's the security concern. So this is where blockchain comes in order to make sure that votes cannot be manipulated, I'm guessing?
Yes, that's right. I mean, blockchain voting, I guess blockchain only addresses one part of the e-voting, which is the storage of votes. Of course, there's many, many layers. I guess we will cover that later. But how it was used in the Thai Democrat Party election was quite interesting because they had actually gone quite far into developing mobile-based and also terminal-based e-voting system where people can vote from their mobile phones and or they can go to a polling station and vote it and have the results tallied really quickly. And what happened was they were pretty far into it, and then suddenly there was kind of a disagreement between the three main candidates because they suddenly realized, like, hey, how do we trust who stores the votes? And they couldn't really agree as to who should be storing the votes. They didn't even trust their electoral commission. We proposed to them, well, why didn't we use the blockchain technology? And all their advisors agreed to use it. So we handle the storage and tallying of the votes on the blockchain that kind of solves that. You know, you're not trusting one person. It's kind of like you don't have to trust because it's blockchain.
Yeah. Right. Right. Okay. And it's quite interesting. You talked about storing votes and who stores it. But with regard to voting, right, or e-voting, what kind of information can these political parties perhaps get out of it? How could they use this information, perhaps?
Well, of course, although we use the word store, the actual votes themselves, because obviously most blockchains, well, our blockchain is public, that means anyone can take a look at it. And the worst thing you would want is by saying, oh, yes, you know, Bob voted for X person, right? I mean, that's not great to have that type of privacy breach. And the way that we did it is that the votes were encrypted and so uploaded onto the blockchain. So that means, you know, even if you're looking on the blockchain, you can't tell who has voted for who. But we have further made it such that no one can decrypt it unless all the stakeholders come to the table and agree to decrypt it. So that means the three candidates, the electoral commission, and also a senior Democrat Party member. So that means, you know, not one person can just open it and tie everything together. The identity data is kept separate. The voting votes themselves are kept separate, and they have different keys to open them. So even if you just have the identity data or just the vote data, it's pointless. So they all need to actually, like, you know, physically come together, give their keys to open, like to let the votes be tallied. And yeah, of course, they can verify the results. And for this election, the results were uncontested. So I think that's an interesting way of dealing with it.
Interesting. I see a lot of new avenues for this sort of blockchain technology and e-voting to be used. What if, take for example, and help me out here, the advantage of if, let's say, a sports governing body with different heads all over the world, they could take part in this. It would be a lot easier to take part in, say, a so-called emergency voting system. But is there any downside to it? I mean, it helps if you're spread out around the world, but is there any downside?
Yep. Yes, definitely there are some downsides. I mean, of course, there's been criticisms, not just on blockchain voting, but e-voting as a whole.
Okay.
I would say for like company decisions, sports bodies, like even if you say like referendums, where the threat level is not that high. Like, yeah, you know, yes, you can get attackers, but if you're talking something like national elections, then of course the threat level, you're talking about state level actors trying to interfere with the elections. And being an online or e-voting systems, there are many, many components from the hardware to the software, not just the storage of the votes, right? And of course, there are many ways that, especially if it's flowing over the internet, you know, can I alter the votes as they are, you know, in transit? Can I bribe the election officials to give me some sort of cryptographic credentials that allow me to vote? So there are not really like real problems that need to be solved.
Yeah.
Blockchain only solves like one part, but there are some really serious attempts at making e-voting a reality, not necessarily using blockchain, but I think the most promising one so far is actually being developed by DARPA, one of the military organizations in the U.S. that is funding an open-source secure e-voting system, giving a bounty of $10 million. So it'll be interesting to see where that takes them.
We're chatting with Ruben Yap, CEO of Zcoin. We're talking about blockchain technology and a live e-voting system. Ruben, just to quickly wrap up, how do you then determine that a country is ready for blockchain voting technology? Is it really just down to the threat level and the size or scale of the kind of voting that's involved?
Yes, I mean, you know, whether a country is ready for blockchain voting, of course, if you're talking about internal party elections or company meetings, you know, that can be already implemented today with little hassle. But if you're talking about national elections, not just blockchain voting, as I said, it's a whole different level altogether. And like, for example, there's this recent Swiss Post e-voting system that's making the rounds. And it looks to be actually pretty bad. And, you know, the code is bad, and they claim they have the mathematics that can claim that you can prove that the votes were not altered, but looks like it's actually a flaw that you can forge those proofs to say that it wasn't altered, but actually it was altered.
Mm.
So once you start dealing with, you know, everyone understands paper. You know, I can see whether it's been altered or not. But with e-voting, you start seeing trust the math, trust the cryptography. Yeah, that means that you kind of now rely on experts to verify it. And if those experts are wrong or, you know, pick their audits, then, you know, you also lose that sort of thing. So there's a good argument of paper voting, but I think we should not discount e-voting completely, especially things for like referendums, because they're so cheap and easy and you can deploy them very widely. And I think that gives people a voice. Like, if it's cheap to do it, I can hold a referendum for not so important things and get a few of their voice, rather than, you know, if you have to do a paper vote for every single thing, it's just going to be too expensive.
I've been chatting with Ruben Yap, Chief Operating Officer of Zcoin. Ruben, thanks so much for your thoughts this morning.
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.